This evening we're going to begin our summer series, again entitled Ask the Pastor. Each week we're going to try to answer questions that you, the members of our congregation, have submitted to us. And I hope that we'll be able to give to you a biblical answer to those questions. To date, I've received three questions that deal with specific passages of Scripture, looking for an understanding, interpretation, and meaning. And tonight I was given a topic or an issue to consider that we'll be addressing in weeks to come. But tonight I want to take some time and begin to try to answer the first question that was given to me about one of the passages and its meaning. Let me encourage you, though, as we get underway, to take the opportunity and to submit some questions along the way, questions that you might have. Sometimes folks think, well, I don't know, that might be a dumb question. You know what I found? That there really are no dumb questions, and usually the question that someone else has and asks someone else is, I was always wondering about that one myself. So take the time and ask the question, and we'll try to give a biblical answer. And if we don't have an answer for it, we're going to come back to you and say, I really don't have an answer. And I'll let you know that beforehand and those kinds of things. But I believe the Bible really does give us an answer to the questions that we have, and we want to try to do so. And I want to encourage you to submit those questions to us, because I believe they're an encouragement to others. And what happens, I believe, in times like this is the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And as we begin to ask questions and consider them biblically, those things are helpful to all of us and beneficial to us. I receive a blessing because I get to study something that I might not really consider on my own or think that I have an answer to it in my own mind, but I need to come back to the Word of God and study it. So I want to encourage you to take the time to think about some of those questions and submit those to us, and I know it'll be a blessing to all of us. I want you tonight to take your Bible, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Tonight's question comes to us really from verse 5, and I've been asked to expound upon the concepts found in verse 5, mainly the concept of submission and humility. In order to understand, however, this passage, or to answer the question, I think we need to know the context. And so I want to back up to verse 1, and I want to read down to verse 11. So I'm going to invite you to follow along as I read, and then we'll bow and ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together. Peter writes and says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight as we seek to understand verse 5 of this passage of Scripture. Lord, with the themes of humility and submission, and how those relate to us and the stations of life that we possess. Lord, I ask and pray that you would give us understanding, because I believe the things that we find in this verse are essential to our Christian walk and to our health as a church body. Now, Lord, I ask and pray that you would give to us clarity of understanding. Now, Lord, that we would not only understand, but the things that we now understand, we would truly apply Lord, they are needful in our day. And I ask and pray, dear Father, that you would teach us tonight. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we seek to understand that verse and its meaning tonight, it's helpful that we remember the context of the passage. Again, the question that I've been asked is simply with regards to the concepts of submission and with humility. How those two relate one to another, and how does that work when it comes down to the truth that it says that all of us are to be subject one to another when there are those who hold positions of authority over others? How are they to be subject and humble in those positions? And how does all that work no matter where we are within life? And that's kind of the concept. But as we understand verse 5, it's really going to help us to understand how we're to relate really one to another. But in order to understand the concepts of verse 5, we really have to understand the context that this verse is found in. And by the way, that's always important when you study the Word of God. When you come to a single verse and you're wondering about its meaning, it's important that you not just look at that verse, but that you understand that that verse is found within a context. And a lot of times we'll look at a verse and we'll pull it out of its context and we'll really miss the meaning of such a verse. For example, Philippians chapter 4 in verse 7 tells us that the peace of God passes all understanding. We love that verse. We run to that verse. But you never get to verse 7 until you go through verse 6. Where you're not anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you make your requests known unto God. And people will say, you know what, Pastor, the Bible doesn't work. The Bible promises peace, but I don't have any peace. What do you feel with anxiety over? Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. There are some things that we have to be anxious over. No, my Bible says be anxious for nothing, not even one thing, period. That's a strong statement. Peace comes to those who pray, not those who worry. But we got to understand the concept of the verse and the context of the verse. So as we look at this verse and its understanding of submitting ourselves one to another, the younger to the elder, how do we understand that within its context? What is the whole thrust of what Peter is getting at in these verses? The first thing that we have to understand is the context of the book. 1 Peter was written to Jewish believers that were facing persecution. That persecution was being brought to them by the hands of the government under the leadership of Nero. He despised and he hated Christians. And Peter is writing to Jews that have been scattered abroad. They were facing persecution, and he is writing to help them to be faithful as they live and as they serve the Lord. And he addresses many concepts to help them as they face and go through persecution. So Peter is writing to those who are struggling as they are facing persecution, and he wants them to be faithful to their God, to their Savior, Jesus Christ. By the way, it's the same basic theme to the book of Hebrews. The same problem was taking place. And the writers are encouraging others to be faithful. Yes, this persecution has come, and folks are losing their lives, but don't turn back. Be faithful. That's the thrust of that whole letter. Now we come to verse chapter 5. And there's another context, and the context of chapter 5 is simply this. As Peter brings his epistle to a close, he is challenging the church with their service. So not just being faithful in general, but now he wants to talk to them about being faithful in their service for the Lord. He first addresses the relationship of the pastor to the congregation and his service towards them. That's really verses 1 through 4. He is speaking to the elders, to the pastors, to those that have been given the oversight, to those that are called to feed the flock of God. And he's encouraging them in the midst of their persecution to serve their congregations well by assuming their roles as an elder, as a pastor and as a bishop. And so he exhorts them in their service. When we come to verse 5, I really believe he changes now and he begins to talk to our relationships one with another and the responsibility of the congregation in their service for the Lord and their service one toward another. So Peter is now addressing the issue of service, and it's important to keep before us that purpose of this section. He wants the church to continue on and be faithful in their service in midst of the severe persecution that they are facing. And in order for that to take place, there's a need for everyone to understand their positions and their responsibilities one towards another. There was no room for pride. There was no room for arrogance within the church. But all needed to learn to humbly serve their God. Matthew Henry, I think, wisely stated, humility preserves peace and order in all Christian churches and society. Pride disturbs them. If we want peace, if we want to remain faithful and see the Lord do wonderful things within the church, it will come through the avenue of humility and service. It will never come through our pride. And yet the reality is, in the midst of all that they were facing, pride was beginning to well up within the church in the midst of that persecution. There were some who were becoming exalted and lifted up of self. And Peter is saying there's a need for a humility and there's a need for us to be subject and to serve one another. He wants that mindset. And we need that mindset today. There's a need for us to understand the importance of humility, that we might be faithful in serving the Lord. You know, there are many things in our world today that want to keep us from our service to God. Nothing keeps us from serving the Lord more than our pride. Nothing. It is that sin that God despises, that He hates. You look upon the list that God makes of the sins that He hates and despises, that He calls an abomination. The top of every one of those lists is pride. He hates it. And Peter is writing now for his church that he is writing to, who is facing great difficulty, that they needed to understand the importance of humble service. He addresses the pastor and he addresses the congregation as well. And so when we come to verse 5, it says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." How do we need to understand that passage of Scripture? Let's consider now the text itself. In light of the context, we need to know the meaning now and application of verse 5. It begins by saying, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." The meaning of that phrase is somewhat disputed. There are two basic thoughts to that meaning of those terms, younger and elder. And the question is, what does Peter mean when he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder"? What's the meaning of the phrase? Well, some come to that passage and say that this speaks to or refers to those of older age and the younger of age. It's speaking of physical age. So the elder and the younger is referenced to physical age. So he is saying to the younger within the church that we are to submit ourselves to those who are older, to those who are elder. And I think that Scripture certainly teaches the importance of respect for those who are our elders by age. By the way, I think it's sad that that is truly lacking in our generation. That was something drilled within to my mind as a child. My mom and dad taught us the importance of showing respect or deference to the elders. That you would never go and refer to someone of older age than you by their first name, but always showed respect by referring to them as Mr. and Mrs., and you use their last name. You don't have much of that in our generation anymore. Now everyone that we're close to has become aunt and uncle or just the first names, and we just kind of throw out that concept. And yet the Bible does teach the importance of younger generations showing deference and respect to older generations. And so Peter is possibly addressing that here, that the younger show respect by their submission to those who are older. And I think that's a fair application of the Scripture. And yet we live in a generation, again, where that's not the case. It's not being taught to our children. And long gone are the days, in some regards, when adults are even deserving of such respect because of their actions and their character. And by the way, to the elder, I think the challenge is to live in such of a way that is deserving of such respect. And sometimes we have just wiped those lines clean, you know, clear, and I think there needs to be those distinctions. There are certain people, folks, in my life that even though I'm an adult, and the head of my own home, and the pastor of a church, if I met them today, I would call them Mr. And I would use their last name. They've even said to me, you can call me by my first name. And my response to certain one of those people is, I'm sorry, but I really can't. I just can't. You mean too much to me in my life for me to ever change that and call you by your first name. They're deserving of that kind of respect. We ought to be instilling that within our younger generations. Yet there's another meaning to that verse or to that phrase. And some come to that and they speak that the phrase speaks of the relationship to the pastor and the people. The elder referring to the pastors. And the term younger can be used in the Greek language to speak of those of a lower, a lower station in life. They don't hold the same office. So the pastor has a higher office than, say, the members of the congregation or the deacons or those things. So some come to that passage and they say, it's really speaking about still the pastor who is the elder of the church and how people relate unto him. You know, ultimately, I don't think it matters which interpretation you take. I think both are valid and I think both are fair. Because the thrust of what Peter wants to say really begins in the next sentence. And what Peter now says is this, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Verse 5, that is the full thrust of the meaning that Peter wants to get at. That no matter where you are, no matter what station of life that you are in, as a Christian, as part of the family of God, as a member of the church, all are to be subject one to another and clothed with humility. Whether you're the pastor or whether you're a member of the congregation, whether you're part of the older generation or the younger generation, it really doesn't matter. What Peter wants us to know is this, that we are all to be subject one to another and to be clothed in humility. I want to take a few moments and understand those phrases tonight. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Let's take that first phrase, to be subject one to another. What does it mean? The challenge that Peter is making is that no matter what station you hold, whether an elder or the younger, we are all to be serving one another. Peter desires that we understand the importance of serving through the means of submission. Willing to subject ourselves to be the servant of others. If you take the term elder to refer to the position of the pastor, then that idea complements what Peter's words were in verse 3. What's it say about him who has a position of authority? What's verse 3 say? Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So the pastor whom the Lord has given authority within the congregation as the under-shepherd and as the overseer of the church doesn't have the right to lift himself up in pride, but must humble himself and through his example lead and serve. Fair interpretation? I think so. You say, well, what about if we take that to mean that there is the elder by age? You know, there's another passage of scripture that comes to my mind. Titus chapter 2. Turn there for a moment. Titus chapter 2. Look at the first few verses of Titus 2. Paul writes and says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Notice this challenge. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, and so forth. What's the challenge? If you're of the older generation, what is your responsibility? To be a good example and to teach and serve the younger. You know, sometimes we can get this mindset. I have a position of authority, I should be respected, and everyone needs to be subject unto me. And that becomes our focus and our thrust. Here's what the Bible says. The focus and thrust ought to be, if I have been exalted in any way to a position or station of life, I am to consider that through that position, I am to serve those under me humbly. And that's what Peter is coming at. Be subject one to the other. He longed for the church to understand that those who hold positions of influence ought to use them well for the good of others. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples? The apostles were going to be those that through their ministry would be the foundation of the church. Upon the apostles and the prophets, the church was built. What was his exhortation to those men in the positions of authority that they had? Who would be greatest among those men? Those who were the servants of all. Peter learned that lesson with the Lord. And he is coming now to the congregation in midst of all this persecution, in midst of all this upheaval and struggle. And he says, listen, I want you to be faithful. And in order for you to be faithful, you must serve the Lord. And if you're going to serve, there's a need for humility. So learn to be subject one to another. The world views positions of authority as a place to be served. The Lord Jesus viewed them as a place from which to serve. Different mindset. Peter's saying, that's what I need to communicate to you. Be subject one to another. Now go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want you to see the next phrase. Because Peter now says this. And be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. This is an interesting phrase. This phrase is translated in chapter 1, verse 13 this way: gird up the loins of your mind. That term to be clothed and the terms to be girded up are the same term, translated for us differently in those passages. The idea of that term to be clothed refers to the tying up of the outer garment in order to do the work. You'll remember in the Oriental custom of that day, men didn't wear trousers or pants to work. They didn't wear shorts on hot days. They wore long flowing robes. When it was time for work, they would gird up or tie up the loins. They would pull up the skirt and they would tie it off so they weren't encumbered in their work. It's also used of a term, this Greek term is used of a term to speak of the servant's apron that he would tie on in order to do his service for his master. They would take upon them a white apron and they would tie on the apron and then begin to serve in their duties. It's the same concept, same term that Peter here uses. You know what I think Peter's thinking of when he uses this term? He's thinking of that night in the upper room when the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ laid aside his garment and he took upon him the apron and he girded it on and he washed their feet. Remember Peter's response? Lord, you can't wash my feet? Not so, Lord. Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Lord, don't just do my feet, do my head, do my hands, do everything. He learned the importance of such humility on that night. And Peter now says that same idea, be clothed with humility. The term humility is a term that literally means this: not rising far from the ground. To be lowly. That's in opposition to the term proud, which means to show above others and to disdain the lowly. You know, those who are lifting up in pride always want to be exalted above everybody else. They want everyone to look upon them and they disdain the lowly things. But to the Christian, they understand the value of humility. Being not far from the ground, but lowly. Our Savior was of a lowly mind. He came to serve others. Why is that so important? Why is Peter putting that thrust to these people in the midst of persecution? Why did they need to learn to be subject one to another and be clothed with humility? Why? Look at the end of the verse. Because God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble. The term resist is a military term and literally means to set the battle in array. To the proud, God says, I'll set my armies against you and fight. But to the humble, he gives grace. Let me ask you a question. What did these poor, struggling saints under persecution need above everything else? They needed God's grace. God's grace that could sustain, God's grace that was sufficient for their every need. They needed God's grace. To the lowly, that is available. To the proud, God holds at arm's length. He resists. What the church needs today is God's grace flowing through us that others may know that grace and be saved. The reason it often does not flow through us is because our pride, which has been exalting itself against others, and it impedes his grace. Folks, God wants to pour out his grace through his people to a world who does not know of such grace. The comment that Romans says is, how will they hear without a preacher? God uses you and me to be instruments of His grace. But God will never use us as instruments of grace until we first humble ourselves and willingly become subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Until we get the mindset that I need to faithfully serve the Lord, even in the little things, the menial things. No one will see and no one will recognize and no one will ever say, thank you for. We need to be willing to serve. Why? Because we want to be a blessing to others. That His grace would flow through us. That's why Peter says, gird up, tie up the garment of humility, no matter what position that you hold. In God's economy, folks, the world's a little topsy-turvy compared to what the world views as important. God views humility as important, not pride. God doesn't care about our positions. By the way, He's not impressed by them. Did you know that? Did you realize that God is not impressed with the positions that you hold? God is not impressed by the talents that you possess? You know why? He gave them to you. You know what He is impressed by? The only thing that He has ever been impressed by? Our humility. When we humble ourselves before Him. By the way, this same phrase is used in another passage in James chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, we are told that God resists the proud and He gives grace to the humble. Same phrase. In James chapter 4, it is referring to our pride against God. In 1 Peter 5, it's our pride one toward another that gets in the way. And Peter, writing to a people who are hurting, who are struggling, who are facing great persecution, says, hey, listen, beloved, be faithful and serve your God. But in order to do so, you've got to be willing to subject yourself one to another and be clothed with humility, that God's grace can flow through you. That's what He longs for. You know what we get in the end of all of that? Verse 11. Verse 10 and 11, forgive me. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5:5, it's a crucial verse, I think, in our understanding, because it has so much meaning. What's it mean? Are we all to be subject one to another, even if we have positions of authority? How does that work? We all to have the mindset of humility, desiring to serve, because that's His desire for us. God's not impressed by any talent that you possess, any position that you hold. God is impressed when we humble ourselves before Him and others and serve as Jesus Christ served here upon the earth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for our time together tonight. We thank You for this passage, the question that was brought to us. And Lord, we ask You to pray that You would give to us a clear understanding of such a verse. Because, Lord, it's crucial in our day. So many want to talk about their exalted positions and authority being so important and being lifted up in pride. Lord, those things are just not important. Lord, You're not impressed by any position that we hold or any talent that we have. All those things came from You. What You want is people who humbly serve others and serve You. So Lord, help us to take those thoughts. Thank You again for the question tonight. Teach us and help us in these days to faithfully serve our God, our Savior, one another in the spirit of humility. Well, thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.